This is a Cincy Fan Talking with LP. You can catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy Fan Talking. You say it like it sounds, just leave off the G. If you have ideas for the show, you can reach me at Cincy_FanTalk@yahoo.com. If you have any suggestions for the show, make sure you leave them there. Who knows, you might find yourself as part of the show. Any feedback would be definitely appreciated. And also, make sure you hit the Linktree page that's on my Twitter. Make sure you click on that. You can find all the different ways to contact me there. Enjoy the show. What's up? What's going on, y'all? What's good? What's good? Welcome to another episode of A Cincy Fan Talking with LP. And of course, this is yours truly, your boy LP. Before I go ahead and kick this off, man, 100% appreciate all the feedback and all the support from the last episode. I thought a lot of people out there would think I was like super salty because, you know, my Bengals took an L, and I'm not really apologizing for the tone of the episode when I kind of went into my mini rant about all the stuff that's going on with two black folks out here. But for the most part, it was some really good feedback. I got some really interesting responses. A couple people weren't feeling it too much, but I mean, when you being 100 with yourself and with other people, it doesn't mean everybody's gonna agree with you. And I definitely respect that. And like I keep saying, as long as everybody is respectful, I'd be more than happy to comment back to you. We can have a nice little back and forth. That's what it should be all about, you feel me? Having conversations with people. So keep the love showing, keep the comments coming to me. Any feedback is definitely appreciate it. So just keep it up, y'all. This one might be a little bit shorter than a normal episode. Real talk, it's just a lot going on with your boy. I'll get into it in this episode and later episodes. You know, you got school, you got all these tests you gotta take, and you know, making sure the fam's straight. It's a lot, but hey, podding is what I do, man. So we're going to get into it. Sat on the couch all weekend, man. Like, real talk. Just chilled on the couch. There was no football on. And real talk, when there's no football on, I realize how stressful it is watching your team play a football game. For real. Even when I'm watching the Buckeyes, most of that is stress-free. The Buckeyes are better than almost every team they play. And it's more about if they're going to blow them out in the first half or is it going to be a close game in the second half and they just pull it out. But watching your favorite college football team play, especially if they upper echelon type, it's not stressful. Watching your favorite NFL team play is stress-inducing, man, because the best NFL team and the worst NFL team, they're not that far apart, talent-wise, coaching-wise, skill-wise. They're not that far apart. So there's very rarely a blowout, you feel me? You're on the edge of your seat from the beginning to the end, and it feels like you just went on a roller coaster for 3 hours when it's over with. I like it, but I hate it. Ugh. Last weekend, no football. I'm watching Xavier hoop. I'm watching UC hoop. Hey, Xavier low-key going to be a team to watch out in the second. I said they're going to make it to the second weekend of the tournament for real. But we'll say that for another episode. We'll get into that later. So we just chilling out, you know. Decided to watch the Pro Bowl. My bad. My fault. The Pro Bowl games. And I'm not being facetious when I say this. I'm not trying to be funny. That's really what it's called. It's called the Pro Bowl games. And instead of actually playing one football game, they focused everything around the skills challenges. You know, they're playing who can hit a golf ball the furthest, who can make the best, most flashiest catch, dodgeball games, you know, target practice, stuff like that. And then after that, on Sunday, they played three flag football games. And then the winner of the football games, whatever, won the whole thing. I thought I would hate it. I watched the first night where they played dodgeball and all that. Boo. But the more I started watching and the more I watched the events, especially the flag football thing, the more I was like, this ain't that bad. Because think about it. Imagine you do what I do. Imagine you're a teacher for a living. Like, you teach the whole year. You get through September, October. You make it up the winter break. You get through that longest stretch of teaching, which is March, April. That part of the year sucks so bad because there's like no breaks in between. It's just like week after week after week after week, and it's right before state testing. So you got to give 300%, but the kids are so tired of testing that they just don't care. It's yucky. Imagine going through all of that, getting to the end of the year, and then somebody says, hey, why don't you come out to a conference down in Texas or over in Cali or something like that? And then you show off your teaching style to a lot of other folks. You would be like, I know I would be like, man, that's cool. They really appreciate what I'm doing. But on the other hand, you'd be like, dang, I got to go out here in real life, do an entire lesson plan and go hard and get critiqued and answer questions and get recorded. You're going like, damn, that's a lot. It's like you're happy to do it. You're proud that you're good enough to be chosen for that. But at the same time, you're like, this is just like another prep week for me. Real life, two prep weeks because everybody watching. It sucked. It will suck. That's what football players are going through every single year if they got selected to the Pro Bowl. It's like, I'm proud to be a Pro Bowl participant because it means I'm one of the best at what I do on the football field. However, I'm out of shape because I haven't played football in like a month. And then on top of that, we talking football, so we talking contact. You know, they're not going to really tackle hard or nothing like that, but they can and they might. And then what if I get injured? It's a whole thing. So, of course, they're not going that hard. And as fans, this is the thing. This is my thing. All of these all-star games, NHL, MLB, they need to do it like the NBA does. And kind of like what the Pro Bowl did. You look at the NBA game, you look at the all-star game, they're making it known. We're not playing defense, man. We're not going hard. Maybe fourth quarter, you know, when the chips are on the line. But real talk, this is a blacktop and one show-off game. That's what it is. And we don't care. Because all we want to see is offense, slam dunks, threes from the logo. That's what we want to see. It's not a real game. And what I respect about the players in the National Basketball Association is the fact that they don't treat it like a real game because it's not a real game. This is a time for you to show off what you do. And if you win, that's cool. If you don't, that's cool. But we're not expecting folks to go hard in an all-star game. That's been the problem with the Pro Bowl. You can't go half speed in football. It doesn't work. You can go half speed in basketball. And, you know, do your thing. The other person won't play defense. They let you get yours off. And they're yelling at each other like, hey, let me get mine too. All right, no problem. In football, if you go soft, you could get hurt. And I don't think the fans understand that I want to see a competitive game. And the players looking like, serious, cuz? You really think I'm about to go all out for this? This a Pro Bowl, homie. That was the beauty of the flag football game. You can go hard in a flag football game because it's flag football. The worst that happens is what Jalen Ramsey accidentally did to Tyreek Hill. And that play would have been 15 times harder if it was a real game, where he got hit in the end zone. But flag football is fun, man. And the best part is it's inclusive. In college, we had like flag football intramurals and all of that good stuff. And we got to play as, you know, a building. So our entire dorm got to join up and play against other dorms across the campus or whatever. But it was co-ed. You got more points if a girl threw a touchdown pass or if a girl caught a touchdown pass. It was awesome, man. Like, for real, because everybody got to be included in it. It's kind of messed up that we took an L in the semifinals, but whatever. It kind of haunts me to this day because I wasn't on the field and I should have been. It's messed up. I don't know. Look at me sounding like Al Bundy out this piece. But the Pro Bowl was actually entertaining because you had players going full speed, not worrying about getting hurt for the most part, and they got to compete. That's really what we want to see. And you're always going to have people going like, man, this ain't real football. No, it's not real football. It's flag football. And that's what it is. And it was cool to see. So I'm not saying like, man, I had the best time. You know, we was drinking and it was something to watch. And it was entertaining to watch. So shout out to the Pro Bowl folks. It probably won't look the same next year. I'm pretty sure they're going to like keep tweaking it, which is good. It doesn't have to look exactly the same every single year. If you're trying to make something great, you're going to have to make small changes here and there if you want it to be great. That's my thing about baseball. Baseball is just so rigid sometimes. We've done it this way and we want to keep doing it this way because that's the way they did it before. Dude, anything that's good can stand to be tweaked and still be good. I've learned that throughout my life. If something is great, if you try to fix a little part of it and it makes it bad, it wasn't really that great in the first place. Everything can be adjusted a little bit to be even more awesome. So I'm curious to see what it looks like next year. I'm not going to say excited because it is the Pro Bowl. So I'm curious to see how it goes next. So that's one. I basically got three things to get off. So number two, and I mean this with all sincerity, man, real talk. If you are a parent of a kid that is in athletics, if they play baseball, golf, football, track and field, basketball, volleyball, whatever they play, please listen to these two simple things. This is your guide as a parent. If you do these two things, everything else works out well, not only for everybody around you, but most importantly, for your kid. Now, take this from a coach, all right? I've listened to embarrassing parents on a regular basis, and the parents don't get to hear how the kid feels while the kid is listening to their parent freaking lose it. They don't get to hear that. I do. I hear how embarrassed that kid is and how embarrassed that kid feels and how they don't want to go back on the court because their mom or dad might start yelling again. So listen to these two things. You feel me? Number one, when it comes to referees, and I truly mean this. I tried to express this last week when I was kind of salty at what happened to the Bengals. The referees only care about calling a good game and going home. That's all they care about. They're not at the game to have it out for your kid. They're not there to cheat a team and let another team win. Their two main things are, one, call the best game they possibly can. Two, go home. That's all they want to do. This is literally a job for them. When parents start yelling at the referees are really upset because they have to slow the game up. They don't want to slow the game up. They're all about pace. They're all about making sure everybody can kind of like stay in the flow of the game. You start yelling, man, that's the BS, man, you can't see. Referees understand that you're going to do that. It's never a home game for a referee. All referees have road games. There's no environment where they walk in and go like, hey, yeah, this all ref. If you're saying that, that's a problem. But what I found throughout my coaching career is that there are a lot of parents who really feel like referees have it out for their kid. But they don't know your kid. They don't really care about your kid. Like, I've ran a youth basketball program for a while. 6th, 7th, and 8th graders play in the league. I'm responsible for scheduling, getting the buildings together, getting the referees, collecting fees, all that stuff. When I'm having my referee meeting, it surprised the hell out of me to understand that the referees, for the most part, don't even know the names of the kids that are playing. And they might be like high-end, like high-level talents. They do not know the kids' names. They literally only know the number and the jersey color. That's all they care about. I was keeping score and running the clock one day. The referee walks over to me, and he's like, what's going on, LP? I'm like, what's up, man? He was like, you know the rule, right? I'm like, what's the rule? Like, be safe? He's like, if all else fails, make sure the clock is running. I'm like, what? He like, look, man, when it's all said and done, I'm trying to ref this game the right way and go home. So if you make a mistake on the clock, just make sure the clock running while you make that mistake, all right? I got weak. Like, really? That's how you feel? He like, we can fix the mistake. But, man, we need that clock to run. That's what we need. The clock running unless it's supposed to stop. I'm like, bet. Once I understood that, it made my life a lot easier as a coach and as a parent. Because I understood that no matter how horrible a call is, referees just blow calls sometimes. I had a real good ref working for me. He's done like games at University of Indiana and all types of places. And he was like, man, LP, I've had calls where I look back and I go like, damn, I just missed it. I straight up blew it. I didn't even see it. I'm like, wow, you can admit that? He like, yeah, like we all human, we all make mistakes. He was like, but my mistakes, they just get magnified because everybody wants to feel like I'm cheating for the other team. I'm like, I get it. I truly get it. Referees don't want to treat your kid the wrong way. Sometimes they don't get it right. They'll even tell you, like, as a coach, I walked up to a couple referees, like, you know you missed that call, right? And they'll go like, what call? And I'll walk them through it. And they'll go like, all right, I'm on it. I'll look out for that next time. And that's all I can ask as a coach. And, you know, sometimes I just have, like, running banter with the referees back and forth, man. Like, I don't even yell at the referees. Like, I use my loud voice for the entire time when I'm coaching. I don't sit down. But as far as yelling at the refs, nah. I say that's a horrible call because, like, you clean missed that. But I haven't even come close to a tech because I really started to understand that to them it's a job. Nothing more, nothing less. Make sure you got the payment on their way out the door. And that's it. That's really what they care about. You don't understand, Siri? Come on, you messed me up right now, Siri. That's just crazy talk. But anyway, that leads me to the second thing. And parents really do have to understand this. It's not about you. It's about the kid. You see all of these videos where the parent starts running out on the court, yelling at the referees. I've seen the stuff I've seen as a coach. And you can ask any coach at any level. They'll just look at you when I'm saying this stuff and go like, mm-hmm, yep. I've had parents yelling at coaches. I've had parents yelling at each other. I've had parents yelling at me. I've had parents yelling at refs, threatening referees, meet me outside. I better not catch you outside. Booing the booing the kids, booing like 6th, 7th, and 8th grade kids. Like, imagine that. Imagine a 7th grade kid shooting an air ball and you hearing parents going like, hey, you trash. Boo, you trash. I'm looking like, little man in the 7th grade, homegirl in the 7th grade, like, she concerned about her algebra homework, man. And you booing her because she airballed a shot? And it's like, a lot, and this might ruffle some feathers if you listening. Like, but like my mama always said, hit dogs holler. Like, hit dogs do holler. That's what happens. When it gets down to it, you have some, not all, you have some parents that kind of want to live through the kid. They might have felt like they could have been an elite athlete. Things didn't work out for whatever reason. Life gets in the way, man, for real. Or they might have had a good run and they wanted to keep it going, but something happened. They got injured, decided to start a family, anything. But then they put so much pressure on their kid and they don't want to see him fail. So it can't be their fault that they missed a shot or that they traveled or that somebody stole the ball from them or they bounced the ball off their foot. Things happen. Not to some of these parents. They're like, nah, you ain't gonna call that? Why am I kid playing? Oh my God. That why am I kid playing thing? Oh my. I used to tell the kids, like, please don't be, like, try not to be the kid that has the parent coming to me talking about playing time. And I told the parents this too, like, every year, first meeting. I'm like, please do not talk to me about playing time. We're running a 6th, 7th, and 8th grade program. I'm going to try my best to make sure everybody gets some PT because that's the goal. Everybody's trying to get better. Please do not talk to me about rotations. Do not talk to me about who's shooting the most because you're not the one with these kids making sure they eat before practice, putting them at study tables while they goofing off, making sure they getting their work done. You're not worried about the transportation to the games, from the games. You're not with me teaching your kid math and then sitting with the kid for like an hour before practice and then waiting for you to pick them up for like 45 minutes after practice over with. You ain't doing none of that for this little weak stipend. That's me. I'm not asking you how to run your kids and your family. So don't come into mind. If you have suggestions about stuff that you saw and you're like, hey, I wonder if any coach would be cool with, like, you know, hey, LP, I was just curious about the next game. That's just parent stuff. I get that. Don't try to run the team. Don't try to put yourself and your needs above your kid or the team. My most successful teams, I'll tell you the two key elements that they had. Number one, players that loved playing defense. Like, they played defense so well that sometimes it was hard for me to get them to shoot because they were so focused about jumping into the press the minute the ball jumps into the hoop. Like, they wanted to get in the correct formation so they could steal the ball and get a layup. Like, I used to enjoy that because I'm like, if I can get you to play defense, the offense will work out. That's number one. Number two, parents who wanted to help the team. I've had parents washing jerseys. I've had parents helping out with pregame meals. I've had parents doing ride shares. When that happens with a team, you know that team is going to be really good because all of the parents, they want to see the team win. And it's not really about, well, my baby didn't get to play the whole game. They understand that it's a process. Some players are getting better. Some players have already been good, but Mr. Parker's going to try to work everybody in as much as he possibly can because he understands that we're talking middle school basketball. You got to prepare them for the next step. In order to prepare them, they all got to play. That was the two elements that worked out and made teams good. If it goes the other way, you got all types of infighting, and you just got parents that feel like, you know what? My baby should play. I played. Once I hear that, I'm like, here we go. If you could do those two things, make it about the team and the kid, and leave the referees alone, you're going to be a good spectator parent. If you only do one of those things, your kid's going to be pissed off at you. Because you should hear the kids. You should hear them like, man, I hope my mama didn't come to the game. Then my daddy comes to the game. Oh, man, here we go. Mr. Parker, can you just put me in second half? I'm like, dude, I got to do what I got to do. Like, if you playing first half, you playing first half, dude. I won't say it's heartbreaking to hear him talking like that. It's more like parents got to understand the effect that they have on their kids. All of the time. Even if you're a parent that's not there a lot and you only show up for the football or the basketball games or whatever because, you know, you busy and you got a job and you got to raise your kid to get the money to make sure they can do this stuff, which is totally understandable, for real. Understand that the way you conduct yourself on the court, the way you conduct yourself in the stands, generally speaking, that's the way the kid conducts themselves on the court. That's usually how it works. Whew. Before I roll out my third thing, I told you good folks that I will be dropping a movie, a TV show, something like that, as much as possible to kind of help everybody understand the African-American experience without watching the same movies, Roots, stuff like that, stuff that people may have already seen, but they've seen it so long ago that they don't really understand how we feel in current times. I would strongly recommend a documentary that just dropped on Showtime. You might be able to see it on Hulu as well, but it's definitely on Showtime and Showtime On Demand. It's called Stand. That's STAND, Stand. It's about the story of Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. He was formerly Chris Jackson. He was like, if you're my age, you definitely remember being a kid and watching Chris Jackson just ball out at LSU with Shaq being like not the second fiddle, but it was Chris Jackson's team, real talk. And he was like a dominant point guard. Then he got drafted by the Denver Nuggets. He was really doing his thing. Personally, my brother strongly feels like this about Chris Jackson, formerly now Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. He strongly feels that Mahmoud was top 5 point guard in the time period that he played. And he will not listen to anybody that says anything less. Like, we used to play video games. He would beeline for the Denver Nuggets squad so he could get Mahmoud, so he could just real life pull stuff out his bag that Steph Curry does today. Like the step back with the crossovers for the deep three. That was Mahmoud a long time ago, back in the 90s. And they're detailing his story and they talk about, I'm not going to give away too much. I'm going to kind of give you, like, you know, the core of the story. You can see the rest on your own because it's a really good story. It talks about how he overcame Tourette's syndrome. He had it really bad at a point. He overcame that. And he found himself embroiled in a situation where he wasn't standing for the national anthem. And you saw what happened to Colin Kaepernick, right? Imagine Colin Kaepernick being in the 90s and doing what he did. That's the story of Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. And there's a lot of guest speakers. There's a lot of people that talks on his behalf. You have Shaq, you have Steve Kerr, you have Jalen Rose. You have a lot of people kind of speaking about what happened to him, and including Mahmoud himself. They talk about what happened to him and what happened after. It's a really good story. It's one that I got to see play out in real time. You know, being a kid and watching it and then growing up and understanding what he had to go through, especially seeing after seeing what happened with Colin Kaepernick, seeing the fallout, seeing how he was able to overcome that and still be a very successful person. It's a really good documentary. I like to talk about stuff that, because I know I have a lot of non-sports fans that listen to my podcast, and I know that. So I like to recommend movies, sports documentaries that kind of transcend sports. This is one of those that it's about a man that's playing basketball, but you learn very quickly in this documentary that it's way bigger than that. And that's the kind of stuff I like, because sports should be a vehicle for how you move through life. Life shouldn't be sports. Sports shouldn't be life. Sports should be like a small part of the life that we lead. And this documentary did a really good job in showing that. What I liked about it was, it wasn't him talking about how good he was. You'll learn quickly in the documentary as well. He's a very humble guy. There were a lot of other people that had to say just how good he was, including Stephen Curry, who a lot of people say, not modeled his game after my move. I won't say that at all, because he's a much different player. But the stuff that Curry is doing today, we saw that with Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. It was more like you just didn't see that every day in the 90s. You didn't see people doing the crossover to the step back. That was more like an and one early 2000s thing. So I strongly suggest that you watch this documentary. Let me know what you think about it. Positives, negatives. He's actually, I'll let y'all see. I don't want to give away too much about what he's doing now or what he did before. So definitely watch it. Let me know what you think about it. I have about 4 or 5 more movies that you can check out. Movies, TV shows, documentaries. But we're gonna work those in week by week, all right? Give you time to watch what I'm saying. Let me know how you feel. Come back at me. I got more for you. All right, man. We're going to go ahead and check out. Real fast. Big props to LeBron James, man. Real talk, big props. This guy just broke the scoring record for like all-time points. My uncles always told me that nobody would ever break Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record. They real life used to tell me that. They'd be like, look, man, ain't nobody breaking that. It's never happening. And I'm like, dang, he put up that many points? Hey, LeBron is the GOAT. I've always said there can be more than one GOAT. LeBron, one of them. And look, man, y'all know how I feel about LeBron, man. Like, y'all already know what it is. We'll get into his excellence another time. People like to hate on him, real talk, but you can't hate on this. If you got to see it, you watch history, man. So shout out to LeBron for putting up more points than any other person that has ever walked and played in the NBA. That's real. That's number one. Number two, Super Bowl. Eagles, 27. Chiefs, 23. I think it'll be a really good game. Mahomes is no joke. If you're a Bengals fan, you saw that in real time. But I think the Eagles have one of the best defensive secondaries in the league. And at some point, the lack of weapons for the Chiefs, I think it's going to come back to bite them, and I think it might be in this game. I wouldn't be surprised if Mahomes pulled it out. I was shocked that he beat my squad the way that he did. But I feel like the Eagles are going to pull this one out, 27-23. I think Mahomes will have the ball with about a minute left with a chance to win it, but they're going to be down 4, so they can't kick a field goal. I think they're going to drive down and get to about the 10-yard line and not be able to punch it in. I think a late defensive stand will end the game, and I think the Eagles will take it. Let me know y'all plans for the Super Bowl, man. Let me know what y'all doing. If you're hanging out with friends, if you're watching it at the crib by yourself or with some homies. My brother's birthday was last Thursday. And yes, you heard right, because my birthday was last Monday. Birthday is 3-4 days apart. So we're going to do a Super Bowl party / birthday party at his crib. So that's kind of our thing. Pictures may be up. It all depends. But we'll be having fun. I actually get to see the commercials this year because I won't be all stressed out. So hey, man, you got a Cincy fan talking with LP. Love kicking with y'all, man. If you got any comments, let me know. You can find me on the Twitter. You already know what it is. But until next week, y'all, life is good. Peace out. If you're not ready for the conversation to end, I'm not either. Make sure to catch me on Twitter. That's the Cincy Fan Talking. Leave off the G at the end of it, and we can keep the conversation going. Also, don't be afraid to hit that subscribe button so you can catch the next episodes. The episodes will drop every Tuesday. If there's a change in that, I'll make sure to let you know. Appreciate the support. As always, life is good. I'll tell you no matter.